Stop beating yourself up. If you are a technical leader who is devoted to creating more in your career, to creating more in your life, chances are you're beating yourself up and you're doing it too much, and it's not helping. It's not helping. So in this episode, I'm gonna talk about what beating yourself up looks like, why it's so bad, and what to do instead so that you can create ludicrous amounts of joy, prosperity, love, freedom in your life while you use your career as the vehicle to do that. Stay tuned. Welcome to the People Stack podcast, where I share insights on how to upgrade your career as a technical leader. I'm Jen Funk. I am a career coach and co-CEO of the People Stack, along with my husband, Rob Allen. If you'd like to find out more about what we do here at the People Stack, please check out our free training at training.thepeoplestack.com. You're going to learn the four strategic and mindset shifts that our clients have used to command 300, 400, 500K plus salaries as tech leaders while living lives of abundance, freedom, and joy. And now, without further ado, please enjoy today's episode. Hello, People Stack people, People Stack peeps, People Stack tribe, People Stack family. Stop beating yourself up. That's the TLDR. Oh man, if I had a dime, if I had a dollar for the number of times that I've told a client that Rob and I have told a client that, or if clients have basically realized, oh wow, I'm beating myself up, aren't I? And that's not helping. Oh man, you know, I actually don't want a dollar for every time because I don't want to get paid for that. That's not how I attract money. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. What does beating yourself up look like? Why is it so bad? What do you do instead? Let's cover that. So, there's lots of different ways that you may be currently beating yourself up. And what I mean by this more generally is you're too hard on yourself. You're making yourself wrong. You think that in order to fix whatever problems or challenges or struggles or stresses that you have in your career, in your life, you need to suffer. And so basically I'm saying cut that out. Again, that's the TLDR version, but I know that you know that there's nuance here, and that's why we do these podcasts, because to simply say stop beating yourself up, cut it out, it's like, okay, then, well, what do I do instead? Because if I just keep focusing on the beating myself up, that's what I'm going to keep doing. Because that's what's conditioned. That's my habit. I need an alternative. I need an alternative point of focus. I need something else to put my energy on so that I can get what I want in my career and the rest of my life, so that I can get that raise, so that I can land that hell yes job, so that I can get that promotion, so that I can work 20 hours a week instead of 40 hours a week, so that I can create the biggest amount of impact that I want without the sacrifice, without the struggle. When you follow our methods, when you follow our systems, the struggle is optional, it's your choice, and I wouldn't recommend it. So what does beating yourself up look like? How does this translate in terms of like real world going about your day? Although a lot of you right now are like, I know exactly what you're talking about. So this is just gonna be preaching to the choir because that's how you make it sing. But for some of you, you'll be like, oh, maybe I am beating myself up, but I don't think I am. But then I'm gonna give you some examples and you're gonna be like, oh yeah, I do that. And what's really important here is to create a space of self-love and self-acceptance for yourself. That this is not about, when I say stop beating yourself up, or when I ask you to say that to yourself, it's not about making anything wrong, because then that's just perpetuating the problem of beating yourself up. You're then beating yourself up about beating yourself up. And obviously, we don't want that. So It's noticing this from a place of self-love so that if you want to, you can change. It's simply noticing from a place of neutrality. Ah, I'm doing that. Do I want to shift it? It's your choice. If you want to shift it and how you shift it. When you shift it truly is your choice. It's always your choice. So how does this show up? What's some neutral noticing that you can do? What can you neutrally notice about beating yourself up? One way that it shows up is shoulds. Either saying it out loud or saying it to yourself. I should have done better. I should have done it a different way. Or you may even say that to other people. You shouldn't have done it that way. You shouldn't have told that client, yeah, we weren't ready. I shouldn't have said that to my boss. I should have said it a different way. I shouldn't have sent that email or that Slack message. I shouldn't have gotten angry at my wife, my spouse, my team. I shouldn't have yelled at them. Because even if it's true that whatever behavior you engaged in may not have been the best behavior in the moment, shoulding is making yourself wrong and beating yourself up. And we'll get to why this is not the best thing to be doing in terms of creating the best life for yourself and the best version of yourself. So right now we're just focused on the what. Any kind of shoulding, whether you're saying it out loud to someone else, about yourself, or whether that's the mind chatter. If those are what the voices in your head are saying, what the mind chatter is saying, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, that's beating yourself up. Another way of beating yourself up is, I need to do a bunch of work now and quote unquote kill myself, hustle and grind to fix this. I made this mistake, it's really just another form of shoulding, right? But you're doing it behaviorally instead of vocalizing it, but chances are you're probably doing both. Oh, I should have done better. All right, now I'm gonna go kill myself and lose sleep and stress myself out because I need to fix it. Oh no, somebody on the team really messed up and I'm the leader. I really should have made it more clear. Oh man, all right. Okay guys, we gotta pull an all-nighter because otherwise this client's, this customer's website isn't gonna work and we have to, we have to hustle and grind in order to fix it. I need to do more. I need to do more work on this clearly, and I'm going to, even though I may be tired, even though my body is telling me, please stop, you're stressed, you need sleep, you need nourishment, you need yoga, whatever, even though my body is telling me that now is not the time to work, I'm gonna work anyway because I need to fix this, or I need to work harder. I'm not getting the outcome. And it may not even be in reaction to fixing a problem or fixing like a holy shit hit the fan moment. It may just be there's this thing that I really want to create in my career or in my life, right? I really want that promotion. I really want to help the company that I work for bring in more leads. I really want to help the company that I work for. I really want to help my team become more recognized. So it could even come from this place of striving, wanting this to create this thing, and this thing isn't created yet. I haven't gotten this promotion yet. I haven't gotten this raise yet. I haven't landed this hell yes job yet. The team isn't recognized as the number one team in the organization yet. We haven't hit these revenue goals yet, these profit goals yet. So we need to hustle and grind in order to get there. We need to work hard in order to get there. We need to do a bunch of work. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? What do I need to do? That's a form. That question, what do I need to do, is a form of beating yourself up when it's within that context. What do I need to do? What's the next action? Can be a very empowering question. So here's a case where the same question can actually be empowering or disempowering. In other words, it may help you or hurt you on the journey toward the thing that you want. If you're doing it from a place of expansion and I feel great and I'm taking care of my body and I'm taking care of my soul and I'm taking care of my mind, I'm taking care of every single piece of me, and I want this thing, what's the next action? That's cool. That's great. That's actually one of the things that we're working on our clients. It's a theme of the month with our clients this month. What's the next inspired, intelligent action? We're helping them to figure that out in their own careers, in their own lives. But when it's from a place of, oh gosh, I don't have that thing yet. I'm yearning for this thing. I'm striving for this thing. I should have this thing. Why isn't this thing happening yet? Why aren't I earning more money yet? Why haven't I gotten recognized yet? Why aren't I in my dream job yet? Oh gosh, notice the scarcity there. Notice the contraction. You're focusing on what you don't have. You're focusing on what's not working. And so then you say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What are the next actions? That's beating yourself up. So let me give you one more. Let's make it a nice triad. So number one way that you beat yourself up is using should in your mind chatter or using should in your language. Another form of beating yourself up is essentially hustle and grinding, focusing on what's not working and then saying, well, I need to do more in order to make it work. Another form of beating yourself up is more, let's go with a more subtle one, because those ones are very obvious, they're behavioral. You can just, if you were to do a behavioral checklist for it, like, yep, do that, yep, do that. Let's do one that's a bit more internally focused, maybe, and perhaps even more subtle. Another form of beating yourself up is essentially in your heart, like emotionally, you're feeling, I'm not good enough. And this can show up in a variety of different ways. It may simply be that it's a conditioned belief that intellectually you know is not true. You know that the right answer is, I am good enough. I am more than enough. You know intellectually that that's the right answer. And emotionally, what you feel is, I'm not good enough. So it's kind of like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you emotionally connect with the thought, the belief, I'm not good enough? And if it's anything higher than 5, you are beating yourself up. 10 being, I absolutely agree. This is absolutely a belief that I have and that I feel emotionally. But even if it's a 3, like, oh, I feel that sometimes, but not all the time, chances are there's still some form of, again, hindrance. Essentially what you're doing when you're beating yourself up is you're building hurdles that don't need to be there. So it's more subtle, it's more of this internal conditioned belief of, I'm not good enough. I actually do believe that. And it's like being honest with yourself. I emotionally feel that. I have not completely deprogrammed that belief from my internal operating system. And what I want the major program to be in my internal operating system is, I am more than enough. Or you could think about it in terms of neural pathways and the fact that the brain is neuroplastic, that we are always creating new pathways. We're carving out new paths, like when you're going on a hiking trail. The more you walk on that hiking trail, the more you can see the trail. That's a nice metaphor for thinking about programming new neural pathways. I want to program the pathway of, I am more than enough, and I will always be more than enough, no matter what happens in my life. I know that's what you all want. That's what we all want. And what you're noticing is that there's still some pathway. You know, people have still been walking. So in other words, connections have still been firing on the pathway of I'm not good enough. That's beating yourself up. So chances are very close to 100% of you who are listening right now are now noticing, and I hope that it's from a place of neutrality and self-acceptance and self-love. Yeah, I'm beating myself up. Why does it hurt? Why is it bad? Like I said earlier, you're basically creating, you're building hurdles for yourself that don't need to be there. That's the best way that I can explain this quickly and concisely in a 20 to 30 minute podcast. For our clients, if there's any clients who are listening and you want to dive deeper in terms of how specifically this is hurting, not helping you, we can absolutely go into it and we'll build some mental models and we'll create the shifts and we'll figure out the next actions like we always do. But for the sake of this podcast, think of it this way. Life is a series of hurdles. Life is a journey, the journey of life. And there are hurdles that we get to jump over. Life gives them to us as gifts. That's why sometimes jumping over hurdles doesn't feel like a struggle. Because it's like, ooh, yay, it's another chance to get even stronger. Yay, I'm gonna jump over this hurdle. But when you create hurdles for yourself, that's when it's like, why is that there? I don't have the energy, it's too high, there's no way I can jump over it, that shouldn't be there, I just wanna be able to walk from A to B unencumbered. Unencumbered. This literally is how my brain is. I grew up in a very intellectual family. I have the brain of a scholar. But sometimes it's just like, what the fuck? Why is this here? Right. So when you're beating yourself up, what happens? Does it feel good? No. Even though you may think or feel that that's what you're supposed to be doing, ultimately it doesn't feel good to say to yourself, I'm not good enough. Would you say that to a child? Would you say that to your best friend? That's a good check. It's like, is this belief a beating myself up belief? All right, well, take the belief and imagine yourself saying it to your best friend or to a child. Would you do it? Would you say to a child, you're not good enough? No. When we're wanting to amp up our best friend because they have big goals, would we say to them, you're not good enough? No. We don't beat other people up, generally speaking. Most people don't. So if you're doing it to yourself, then you're beating yourself up and it doesn't feel good. You're putting yourself into a state that is unresourceful, that is disempowering. So try reaching your goals from that state. See what happens. It's like trying to drive the car when the parking brake is on. How many times have you done that? What is that noise and why isn't it? Oh, right? But we just get conditioned to driving our lives, driving the cars of our life with the parking brake on. And we think that that's what it's supposed to feel like. No. Take the parking brake off. Stop beating yourself up. So what I'm saying is that a lot of you, and myself included, for decades of my life, until the last 10 years or so, that I've been doing this intentional, fun, expansive, sometimes feels like hard work of reprogramming my internal operating system. So for many of you, you're either beginning that journey, you're on that journey, you're not on that journey yet, we're all in different places and we're all walking ourselves home. We're all exactly where we need to be, where we get to be right now. And for a lot of you, You're driving with the parking brake on. But you've just been doing it for so long that you think that that's just what it is. You're conditioned to it. It's normalized. The stress of beating yourself up is normalized. You don't even realize you're doing it. And that's why I gave you all of those examples. So contrast that, the trying to reach your goals from a disempowered, unresourceful state. And that's what a lot of you have been doing. And you've been reaching your goals anyway. Right? Because you're amazing. You're amazing humans. You're intelligent humans. So now, oh, wow, what am I capable of with the parking brake off when I don't have to jump over these self-imposed hurdles? What happens when, and we've all experienced this too, we have a goal that we want to reach, we have a challenge that we want to overcome, we have stress that we want to let go of, we have a struggle that we want to turn into a fun journey. What happens when you do that from an empowered state? From a resourceful state, from the highest level of resourcefulness possible. Boom, zoom, parking brakes off, accelerators all the way in, you're there before you even realize it. And it feels safe and it feels fun and it feels amazing. So stop beating yourself up. What do you do instead? Because if I just keep telling you to stop thinking about an elephant, you're just gonna keep thinking about the elephant. So if I keep telling you to stop beating yourself up, you're just gonna keep beating yourself up. Even if you have the intent of doing something else, unless you are like, you know what, think about a little kitty cat instead. So I'm gonna give you the version of the fun animal to focus on. The cat, the dog, the puppy, the whatever it is. What do you do instead? And I actually already answered it in the very beginning. Simply notice from a place of neutrality. Everything, everywhere, all at once. Anything external, simply notice from a place of neutrality. Anything internal that feels like a knee-jerk reaction and that feels unintentional, simply notice from a place of neutrality. This neutral noticing is a game changer. Let me give you an example. You're on the job market, you want to land your hell yes job. You've been on the job market for months, and the leads are drying up, and the leads that you do have are like, yeah, sorry, not a fit. We've considered your application, thank you so much, but we decided to go with someone else. Months and months and months and months of this. Instead of, this sucks, I'm a terrible person, I must have to do much harder work, I guess I need to like quit my day job in order to be on the job market, is that what's gonna take? Is it really a full-time job? To be on the job market, I must be doing something wrong. What do I need to fix? What do I need to do better? Work harder, hustle, grind harder. Yeah, it must be me. Instead of that, okay, got it. I've gone on 5 interviews. They all ended up in no's, and I have 0 leads right now. Got it. What do I want? I want a hell yes job. And here's the exact hell yes job that I want. Here's what would feel expansive. And I'm absolutely capable of getting it. I know I'll get it, it's just a matter of time. There's nothing serious going on here. I'm on the job market and this is what it looks like. What's my next action? And you decide your next action from there. Neutrally notice what's happening. That's it. It's like meditation, and this is why meditation, it's like a meditation in life. It's why meditation is so helpful, because in meditation, what are we training our brains to do, among other things? One of the things that we're training our brains to do is to simply notice when a thought pops up and then go back to the other point of focus, which would be the breath or the mantra or whatever the point of focus might be. I'm going to neutrally notice the thought that pops up, and then I'm going to go back to my point of focus. I'm not going to make myself wrong for thinking while I'm meditating. I'm not going to call myself a bad meditator. I'm not going to say, oh, this doesn't work for me. It must work for other people, but it can't ever for me because I'm thinking and I can't not think. So just apply that to any area of your life. I'm going to notice what's happening. I'm not going to make myself wrong for it. And I'm going to go back to the point of focus that feels good. I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to focus on my dream. And I'm going to concoct, bake up, stir up the next action from that place. Neutrally notice and then neutrally notice, focus on your dream, and then take the next action. That's what you do instead. And so for a lot of you, you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to go do this, and I want you to go do it. And also, for a lot of you, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 3 months from now, whether it's 3 years from now, you're going to say, I want some help with this. Because I have, well, I've done a bunch of these things, and some of it's working. These are just overarching concepts that Jen is talking about. I can only talk about overarching concepts here and give whatever examples come to mind, come to heart, based on my years of experience. But I know that for a lot of you, the examples that I'm giving, they resonate with you, but they're not exactly hit the nail on the head kind of advice exactly for you. So when you're going to come to a point, many of you, where it's like, I need the hit the nail on the head advice exactly for me. I need the custom tailored suit version of career advice and life strategies and career strategies exactly for me. And I see the value of working with an expert on that. So if that's where you're at, then the best thing to do to determine whether or not it's going to be a fit to work together is to book a free career clarity call with us. thepeoplestack.com/book. thepeoplestack.com/book. That's how you determine. That's how we determine together whether it's going to be a fit to work together. Because we don't work with just anyone. And I don't recommend that you do either. I don't recommend that you just take any job. You have to determine if it's a fit because it's a commitment. It's a commitment for us, and it's a commitment for you. So that's step one. That initial call, it's an initial clarity call. It's free of charge. We're going to talk about what's not working in your career right now and where you want to go. And if you don't know the answers to those questions, that's okay. You're going to get that clarity on the call. We're going to help you figure that out. And then after we talk about that, you're going to have that clarity no matter what happens after. And then we're going to determine if it's a fit to work together. If we're 100% confident that we want to invite you to be one of the new clients that we take on this month, because we're 100% confident that we can help you, guide you to build your dream career, then we're going to make an offer and we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about all of the details of that custom tailored offer so that you can then make a decision about what to do next. It's always your choice. It's always your choice. And it's always your choice how you react, respond to what's going on in your career, what's going on in your life. And sometimes we choose to beat ourselves up. It may not make intellectual sense, but that's okay. This is what neutrally noticing, neutral self-acceptance looks like. You know what? I kind of feel like I just want to beat myself up a little bit. Like, I don't know why, but like, I just need to do something. It's like, okay, cool. Don't make yourself wrong for making yourself wrong. All I'm saying is after you do that, if you choose to do that, you don't need to do that, by the way. But if you choose to do that, then say, all right, what can I accept from a neutral place? What do I want? And what's the next step? It really is that simple in terms of the strategy, but again, the how and the nuance and what's in your way, that's what makes it complicated, or might make it feel complicated or hard. Stop beating yourself up. Neutrally notice, focus on your dream instead. Take care, folks. Aloha, mahalo. We love you. Take care. And that wraps up another episode of the People Stack podcast. Thanks for listening and for supporting our mission. We are all helping to positively transform the tech world, one tech leader at a time. I have so much gratitude for all of you, for our badass clients, our loyal listeners, every one of you who we've worked with. And I have to give a special shout out to my husband, Rob Allen. He's my co-CEO, the love of my life, PeopleStack Client Zero. And it is such a fun ride, finding new, ridiculously unreasonable levels of prosperity, joy, and fun with him every single day. And a quick thank you to Ketza for creating the catchy, inspiring theme music that we get to use in our podcast. We love each and every one of you. Big, big hugs, aloha, and mahalo.